All right, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy 2, 2. Let me just say, I'd like to thank Pastor Joe's for this opportunity and Heritage to reach out. I wasn't originally scheduled to speak. Dan Boyce was supposed to be here. I'm not as exciting or attractive as Dan. He's a much better pastor and speaker than I am, but his son, I believe, is being deployed today, so he's spending time with family. However, this opportunity was very exciting to me, and it's not lost on me that my pastor, Pastor Chuck Phelps, is the guest speaker here, and that I'm a product of him. Now, I don't know if he would claim that or not. That's up to him. But I get to speak on reaching the next generation, and so a lot of these principles are coming directly from the bloodline of Phelps. And we do not honor him as a glorious man above our God, but we're thankful to God for he and Linda. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast learned, heard among me, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, as we prepare just for a moment to consider how to reach the next generation, would you give us a passion, a grace, and a love for them? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Bible verses of the topic of reaching the next generation are plentiful. Israel's key to survival was the great Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, with the instruction of a father having the Word of God and the right doctrine and teaching all throughout his household, no matter where he walked, sit, stood. And the Bible, on the other hand, says that the younger generation also needs to have a respect for the elder generation. In order for a church to glorify God, both generations have to work together. And I would even propose this, that traffic needs to flow both ways. Elders must prioritize the youth, and the youth must humbly respect elders. And far too often, the confusion between the two, or maybe we can even say the lack of getting along between the two, causes traffic jams in the local church. And the generation gap truly is a real thing. And each generation has its own tendencies. And so perhaps there is no greater barrier to discipling the next generation than this concept of generation gap and not understanding how to do it. And some just don't really see it as a priority either. If you look around inside of our local churches, it's common that they are stacked with seniors, boomers, and empty nesters with little to no Generation Y or Generation Z, millennials and younger. Why is it so difficult for young people to attend church these days? I suggest it's because they are looking for fulfillment in different things than what the elders, boomers, and empty nesters are looking for. The elder generation are most fulfilled when they connect inside relationships and instructions. When the elder generation fellowships, they do it around a cup of coffee. They discuss family and friends and sermons and Sunday school topics. The topic of worship motivates the elder generation to attend services and groups and Bible studies. But the younger generation have found that approach lacking. Surveys suggest that they seek instead role models and how to emulate those role models. They don't talk about family and sermons. They talk about mission, likes, dislikes. Friendship to them is the click of a button or following someone on the internet. It is not a relationship. And the younger generation wants different things, such as social change, social services, and leaders who don't just talk, but get stuff done. According to the data company ACT Technologies, quote, baby boomers generally gravitate towards prophets, which is why they tend to listen more attentively to expository sermons and find inspiration in historical figures. Millennials generally gravitate toward heroes, which is why they tend to listen to podcasts and music to find inspiration in larger-than-life superheroes. Think about that just for a moment. Generations Y and Z have been raised on a diet of Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. And it's to a level like no other generation. Have you noticed the trends at theme parks or even Hollywood? Entertainment is based on superheroes. It's a generational change. What are these young generations looking for in church? An old crusty pastor who preaches woodenly from a Bible in an ancient language? Why would they do that when they can have a handsome rock star who has a trophy wife and he wears skinny jeans and he tells fantastic stories in a church down the street? I'm not recommending that, right? I'm just illustrating it. Older generations go to the coffee hour. Younger generations go to the coffee shop. It's a coffee shop that is a conversation more about social change and services and not drinking the cup of coffee. At the coffee shop, they are more likely to meet role models for a purposeful living. These conversations then motivate them to volunteer for community service and make bonds with lifelong mentors. In other words, the next generation is not finding fulfillment in local churches. They are finding fulfillment everywhere else because our communities and our society is based on entertainment. They are looking for pastors to be their Batman and entertainingly beat up the devil Joker. Not slowly and methodically teaching through God's word as if it's life-changing. Because it's certainly not exciting to do that, right? So the generational languages are very different. Now, it's no one's fault that the generation gap exists because we are all products of our culture. And culture rapidly changes. But that leads to a warfare inside the local church. It doesn't split the church because the older generation will win and keep the church. The younger generation will simply walk away and let the elders have the church. Now, that's not a call for us to abandon sound doctrine or biblical philosophy. It's a call to recognize that elders don't know how to reach youngers. And we need to do something about that. I found this quote from the same company, ACS Technologies, fascinating. Nevertheless, the more a church obsesses over worship styles, post-worship refreshments, fellowship dinners, study groups, the older congregation will become. The more concrete an outreach service, intimate small group, and mentoring relationships, the younger the church will become. So can we build a bridge across the generation gap? Can the younger understand that worship style, post-worship refreshments, fellowship dinners, and study groups are important? And can the older generation understand that outreach, community service, intimate small groups, and mentoring relationships is just as important? So my proposition to you for this session is, bridging the generation gap is essential to the health of the local church. Building the generation gap is essential to the health of the local church. I want to share a bridge with five pillars that need to be built across the generation gap. These pillars are not from elder to younger or younger to elder. It must be built from both directions. Traffic must flow both ways. Pillar number one, don't assume either generation is biblically literate. Don't assume either generation is biblically literate. And here's what I'm going to do for each pillar. I'm going to present you a problem, and then I'm going to give you a solution. So here's the problem. The younger gets judged by the faithfulness of their parents. Godly parents do not guarantee godly children. The younger needs to choose to be faithful on their own accord. It is not fair to assume a child is either faithful or rebellious based on the identity of their parents. Each person also has a different talent, gift, skills, and they are not necessarily the same as the parent. The younger must not assume the elder knows how to be a perfect Christian. That causes a lot of disappointment. I have heard countless times, I am no longer attending that church because of that teacher, that pastor, that deacon. But that doesn't lead them to find another church because most just drop out altogether. It's an excuse, and that is actually a cop-out. All of us need to understand that spirituality is our own choice. Making a pastor, deacon, or church member into a superhero is unrealistic because ultimately they will fail. And when it is found out that the superhero is not immortal, belief in the superhero is now difficult. So what is the object that both generations need to attain? Christlikeness. Not Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, or any other weird man. It's Jesus Christ. And the object of our worship is Christ alone, so he can never fail. So that is the problem, is that generations can make superheroes who should not be in the local church. It is Jesus Christ alone who's our focus. So here's the solution. All generations need to accept ownership of their individual faith, and all generations need to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteous works come from, now get this, a righteous heart and not righteous behavior. A righteous heart. Acting holy stems from inward holiness, not outward action and tradition. Good works or following tradition does not equate holiness. Many Christians hang artificial fruit from their trees. Brother Lemon is sitting in the front row. He and his son came out to Montana and framed in a cabin for me. And to this day, there is a memorial to Rob and Robbie behind my cabin. There's a pine tree with a piece of fruit hanging from it, a plastic lemon. And each year I make sure that lemon is secured in that tree. If it's too weathered, it gets a new lemon. But it's my thank you that I remember the lemons came out. I can assure you that pine tree did not grow that lemon. Christians can't have artificial fruit. It must be genuine from the heart. The younger views traditional fundamentalism as irrelevant. Did you just say that? Yes, I did. And I am wholeheartedly a fundamentalist. Let me define it. But I am wholeheartedly a traditional, historical, conservative fundamentalist. And I'm not afraid to say that. But they don't care. All generations need to keep growing towards Christ. They've grown up in a culture, the youngers have, that seeks to redeem the world through entertainment, through social justice, and free stuff. So the last thing on their minds literally is, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? That's not on their minds. They don't view salvation as a specific event because they're trying to redeem the world through social action. Or even we could say repackaged social gospel. Their salvation is their own kingdom that they are building here on earth, which they view as holy and noble. But where are their hearts? Are they unspotted from the world? Or is the outward action considered to be holy? Now, the younger's criticism is the elders do not know their Bible very well. Because they do things out of tradition for tradition's sake and not necessarily because of their Bibles. I'm not saying we need to tear down all our traditions. Some are in place and are very good. But they never should supersede scriptural principle. The younger generation sees inconsistencies that just don't justify in their minds with Scripture. Because my church, because my pastor said so, is not credible to them in previous generations at time, that has been sufficient. Why do we do this? Because my pastor said so. Because my church constitution says it. Why don't we do that? Because that's our tradition. So it's an elder's duty to train the younger to take their fingers and point them to the Scriptures. Why do we do this in our church? Chapter and verse, please. That's what the younger generation wants. That's what they need. The Bible has to be the absolute authority over all generations. And when we assume the elder and the younger know their Bible, we're doing them a great disservice. All members in the Church of Christ, the body of Christ, strive together. All are supposed to assist one another. Each member is valuable, and each one has to bear one another's burdens, for this is the law of Christ. So the solution is for both to study the Word of God together. How much time do generations spend studying, fellowshipping, or emulating the Word of God outside of church services? Well, for those of you that are the elder generation, when's the last time you grabbed a young whippersnapper from your church, took him out to coffee, and told him about your salvation testimony? Why not? The greatest investment in the next generation that you can give is your time. You cannot disciple people that you do not know. And very few elders want to take time to actually get to know the next generation. It has to go both ways. The younger has a much more love and raw emotion to give. They just need to also receive love and emotion from you so they can give it back. Pillar number two. Discipleship cannot be left to the pulpit alone. What time am I done here? 11? Thank you. All right. Discipleship cannot be left to the pulpit alone. When is the last time you saw a church member advance in years sitting in a coffee shop with an open Bible discipling a young person? Many churches have this flawed thinking that discipleship is the duty of the pastor from the pulpit or inside his personal Bible studies that he does in his office. You know where that was first captured in religion? Catholic theology. During the Dark Ages, Bibles were kept away from the common people, and the common man was forced to rely on the priest for supernatural enlightenment. I think it's comical to think that the first English Bible translations were actually chained to the pulpit so the common people would not steal them. 500 years later, though, has the mentality really changed in some churches? While Baptist and Bible churches don't have priests, I get that, many think that it is the pastor's duty to do all the discipleship of the church. But we are all recipients of the Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples. What happens if your church is looking for a pastor? Does that say, oh, we'll just do this now and we'll disciple, but when we get that pastor, it's all his job now? Mm-hmm. That's not God's plan. Here's the solution. Stop making the assumption that it's somebody else's responsibility to go and make disciples. It's just as much as your pastor's responsibility as yours. And it's not a generational gap if you are not discipling others. It's a disobedience problem. Elders in your church need discipleship too. Whether it is a Bible study, reading a book together, or simply spending time together, talking about the Lord, or personal struggles, or spiritual challenges. Elder generation, I'm not asking you to fix the youngers. I'm just asking you to love and disciple them. Make it a goal for everyone who is younger in your church to hear your salvation testimony and for you to hear theirs. I think that we just, and I didn't plan with Pastor Phelps that this is what we do, but that's it, isn't it? I don't know how many are in your local church, but has every single one heard your salvation testimony outside of you sharing it from a public service? Why or why not? Some young people have grown up in sound biblical homes under great ministries that are biblical. And the challenge here for the young people is to now put it to use. Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is required. So for someone to disciple is a biblical act. The younger generation still has it, even though they may not have as much maturity as the older generation. So if you're in the younger generation, is there a new convert in your church? Ask your pastor how you can help disciple them. Is there a younger person that you can pour your life into? How can you invest in them? Is there a wayward person who needs an ear and prayer? Well, then you go and listen and you pray. What is prohibiting you as elders and you as youngers from being the greatest prayer warrior inside your local church? Can I give you the answer to that? It's you. The only reason you are not the greatest prayer warrior in your church is because you don't want to be. One thing that we do in our church is we ask mature couples to spend time with and disciple younger couples. I ask some of our couples to go and grab some of the younger couples and do a Bible study with them once or twice a month. I'll make recommendations if they need materials. But my goal is for couples to spend as much time outside of church service together as possible so they can figure out how real Christians act outside of services. And I'll just pray that you have good discipling couples. But it forms this bond that you can see on Sunday morning as they walk in the door, and these couples have been spending time with each other on a weekly basis, and now there is this camaraderie. And so next year we'll switch up those couples and build those bonds to try to make it even stronger. Getting over the generation gap. Pillar number three, practice grace before correction. Practice grace before correction. You know, there's a tension between the generations. Both feel they are being judged because of who they are. The last person in the world I want to spend time with is that old fogey or that young whippersnapper because they don't have the right approach to life. Therefore, the people I do not like have to get themselves in shape before I will give them my time, because my time is valuable. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't do that? Yes, there is this biblical mandate that you have to come and be a follower. But do you understand, to even see a young person walk through the doors on a Sunday morning is like this glorious revelation that our culture does not know or see. The fact that they are even walking in and giving you their time is evidence enough that they have a desire to grow. Don't take that for granted. So the problem is there is this judgment on both sides that feels like tension because they don't get me and I don't get them. I don't like their lifestyle and their lifestyle's boring. How do we solve that? Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you be tempted. This next verse in verse 2 is quoted quite often. I don't think it's often in the context of the local church realizing that there are failures in the local church spiritually. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is how God has designed the local church to work. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now you bear their burdens. And it flows which direction? Elder to younger or younger to elder? It's both ways. So, do you consider yourself to be a spiritual leader inside the local church? Are you breaking the law of Christ because you are not bearing the younger's burdens? We have this mentality in New England that my business is my problem and it's no business of the local church. We're very private people. Now, I'm not saying that you need to have confessional time and air all your dirty laundry in church service. That's not what I'm saying. But if the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, how does it apply to you and the generation gap? Well, look around and see who's struggling, whether it be younger or older. Put your arm around them. Walk beside them. How many young people simply don't have a good parental figure, but really could use an elder to put the arm around and walk next to? How many elders need assistance and love and care and sometimes even physical care from a younger generation? I have this picture on my computer. One of our members just went home to be with the Lord this year at the age of 100. And I have a picture of him with one of our young girls from the church. He's sitting in his wheelchair. He had been in the nursing home for a little bit and came back, got his health back. And here is Lorelai looking into Manny's eyes and Manny's looking back. And this sense between these two people, 80 plus years apart, is so extreme. The love that they share, the excitement that she got to see her Manny and Manny got to see his Lorelai. It was electric. And it brings me to tears when I see that picture. I just love that idea. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Practice grace before correction. Understand that the grace of God is strong enough to breach or build a bridge over the generation gap. Pillar number 4. Ownership, not guilt, is a motivating factor. Ownership, not guilt, is a motivating factor. Now, some elders believe complaining or pointing out the younger's flaws will miraculously change their behavior. Some churches, when they do this, will develop an us versus them mentality, which elders now own the church, and since the younger are not mature enough, they're not allowed to seize ownership. They're not allowed to lead. They're not allowed to serve in the way that they are able. And some churches even will look at how much financial assistance or giving has been coming through and say, well, you didn't earn your stripes yet because you haven't been tithing long enough. So elders get a sense that the younger have not earned leadership opportunities. And guilt is used to get the younger to actually do something. But the younger feels that they are inconvenienced of even being present because they're not allowed to be into the social club because they haven't earned the rite of passage yet. That's a problem. What is the solution? The solution is to view the local church as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all members one of another are in that body, being many are one body, so also is Christ. Listen, the younger is not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. The younger need to be taught how valuable they are in the local church. Their way of thinking, their initiatives, their ideas, their burdens, their passions, they need to be heard and incorporated into church ministry without doctrinal and without philosophy of ministry compromise. So when the younger feels appreciated, they feel valuable. They will go and sometimes to great lengths to move mountains for the older generation because they are valuable. Young people will attend a church where they are valued. And if your church does not value them, they will go find a church that values them. Maybe we should address the sense of entitlement for a moment. Entitlement is the belief one is inherently deserving of privileges and special treatment, right? Whose fault is this next generation is entitled? It's not the youngers. It's the elders. The elders have raised children in child-centered homes through child-centered parenting. Biblically, when does a family begin? Marriage. If children are never allowed to be brought into the home, are they still a family? You better believe they are. But the last few generations have made the children the center of the home, and everything revolves around their comfort and their welfare. And that has carried over into the local church so that the younger generation feels like they need to be the center of attraction.
They are entitled.
They are entitled.
And that is cultural.
It is cultural.
Because it's not that way in other cultures.
It is cultural. I would suggest it started in the 1960s with Dr. Spock. Matthew 23:11 is the solution. But he that is greatest among you shall be your. How about we translate that word slave? Because that's the word it is. Servant. Elders, do you really want to dissolve this generation gap? Do you? Get down on your hands and knees and wash the younger's feet. Ew. That's gross. No, that's what Jesus did. The Ancient of Days washed the young disciples' feet. Coincidence? No, service. Pillar number 5, and we're done. Sincerity and clarity speak volumes. Sincerity and clarity speak volumes. So the younger seeks clarity without beating around the bush. They do not like hints. They know elders don't have all the answers, so elders don't pretend like you have all the answers. You know, one of the greatest senses a young generation will embrace is, I don't know. But let's look at the Word of God together to find the solution. The greatest way to lose the next generation is to be a fake generation that pretends you have all the answers. They will see right through you and will be highly critical and probably on social media. But the strength of the younger generation is they want action and they want it now. Remember, they want to change and redeem culture because that is how culture has taught them to be. But if they don't have a sincere, open leadership that helps direct them into biblical values, that time and that talent will be lost. Or invested into something they find more valuable. Here's the solution. Both generations need to be clothed in humility, with the elders taking the lead in loving the younger generation. The elders take the lead. If you think a millennial or younger generation is going to come into the church doors and say, I love you, I love being here, I want to be just like it, you're delusional. That's not happening. But if you understand the concept where you, as a Barnabas, walk beside the younger generation and give them a valuable relationship, they are loyal for life. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to elders. Period? No, the verse goes on. Yes, all of you be submissive one to another. Wait a minute. Didn't he just say that younger submit to elder? Yes, that's the leadership principle. The older generation is to lead the way, but it is also a mutual benefit. You be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud and does what? Gives grace to the humble. There's the generation gap being filled. I am told, and this is not from personal experience, but I am told that childbirth is painful twice over. There is pain in the bringing forth of the child when the child enters the world. I have no experience. And I've witnessed, I've been there with the birth of my two children, but my wife can testify how painful it was. But the second pain is one that now tries to raise a child in a culture that hates God and to keep that child unspotted from the world. I suspect that the second pain is much greater than the first because the physicality of childbirth will heal in time. I think parenting is always going to be a painful experience until we're glorified. Have you ever thought about this? Children represent about 25% of our church's population, but they represent 100% of our church's future. That is why raising children is one of the greatest challenges as well as the greatest privileges. Bringing that generation gap to a close, bridging that generation gap, is essential to the health of the local church. I got 2 minutes for questions or comments. Anyone at all?
Yeah, thank you for your sharing. Because as a mother, I made a lot of mistakes before Tiffany. I would say, you need to listen to me. Then after a while, I noticed that's not, that wasn't right. So based on study,